Okay, welcome. We're glad you joined us here at Grace Communion Derby. We want to let anyone that joins us, we are a Trinitarian-based church. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that you will hear essentially every church service, and the references are on our website. So if you want to ask questions, please email, and we can take care of that. The first thing that we will start with is a reading from Psalms 23, 1 through 6.
The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside quiet waters. He restoreth my soul. He guides me along right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Thank you very much. It's kind of the tone for the day that we want to work with from that standpoint. Giving is also a part of worship. I wanted to remind everybody of the opportunity to give via text or online giving. If you opt for a different method, it's still accepted, but this is the one, especially in this time of distancing, allows for the offering to go through at a much quicker pace. Truly, we do appreciate any and all that give. Intercessory prayer.
Loving God, we do thank you for all that you do for us, that you are with us, you take care of us. And Lord, we ask that you be with our church neighborhood. Please be with the children as they are finishing up school, but how they may have extra time that they don't know what to do with. And please help that to be a positive time and develop closer family relationships. And Lord, please, as the different states and areas open back up, we ask that you give wisdom to those making those decisions of when and how, and please help all of us around the world even to respond in the right and good way, that we would be safe, be protected, but that we can not forget to reach out to others, even when we can go and do more. And God, we thank you for all of your many blessings and the protection that you have given to us. And I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much. And especially as we do open up the states, I know that's something that each one of us is thinking about, aware of, and it has different ramifications for so many. We are now to the time of the message. And to begin that, we have the text of today from John 10, 1 through 10. That will be read for us by Nancy.
I assure you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all of his sheep own out, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they recognize his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Jesus gave this little illustration, but they did not understand what he was telling them. So Jesus said again, I assure you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The sheep come only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance.
Thank you very much. It is a joy to see everyone this morning, to listen to you share different information, events of what's been going on. Even in our home life, it doesn't stop. There's things that still happen. And we're affected, whether we are totally in the home or if we're out in a garden or mowing the yard or if we're still going to work. There's that impact from so many. As we begin this service today, I would ask that we go to God first. Loving, most kind, Father, Son, and Spirit, as you continue to bless us, to provide our needs, to give us protection, what a blessing it is to know you. We ask that you take this message today and you speak into each one that is listening. As we internalize specifically what you have for us, God, it is a message that is full of love and hope, and we just praise you for it, and we ask for your blessing in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to think about, do you know someone that if you heard their voice, you would know immediately who it is? Maybe it's someone that's not even alive today, a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, maybe a boss that you had. But you would know without a doubt who that person is. That voice is so clear and so part of your memory that it's there, that there is no doubt. This past Friday was the anniversary of my father's passing. And I don't know why this year, maybe it was because of this message, thinking about him at a different level, but his voice I could hear. But the thing that I remember most about his voice was the tone. You always knew how to respond based on what his tone was saying, not so much his words, but you knew if it was, I need to get on the stick and move now, or if it was, okay, we can have fun and laugh. That was one of the memories that sticks in my mind about his voice. And I thought about my grandfather, his father. You've heard me mention, you've heard me talk about how near and dear my grandfather was to me. And his voice I could pick out of anywhere, anytime. But the thing that I always remember, at least as he spoke to me, there was always love in his tone, in how he spoke. I always knew there was concern, there was love, there was direction, there was correction, but it always came across that way. And I'm sure, and my dad even mentioned, it wasn't always that way for everyone. I just happened to be recipient or remember it that way. The final one that I'm going to talk about is a man that we became really close friends in college 45 plus years ago. Great friend. And through the years, we drifted apart. Probably the last time that I had talked with him was 20 years ago. But about a few months ago, I got word that he was in stage 3 or stage 4 cancer. And I reached out. And when he picked up the phone, there was no doubt who it was. He could have called me with no caller ID. I could have called to a payphone if he was there. I would have picked him out. That southern South Texas draw that he has from that region of the country and his way of speaking. And through the last course of weeks and months, we've been able to talk back and forth. And it's such a blessing, because when I hear his voice, I remember so much of the stories, the fun, the antics that we got into, the life that we had, and we can share. But it's a memory that voice just brings back, and it's so calming and so exciting. In John, the book of John, The original book of John was just one long book. There were no chapter breaks. There were no verses. It was a long story that just flowed as he wrote the book. And Jesus is illustrated in John, the life that he lived, the illustration of Jesus's life as John wrote it. So we're going to break into a piece of the story today. And John 10 and 1 through 10, as we heard, he uses the metaphor of a shepherd, of someone that watches out for the flock. But to get the understanding behind the metaphor of this story, back in John 9:35, it picks up, and we've heard this in recent weeks also, Jesus healed a man that was blind from birth. The man had never seen. And Jesus chose to heal him on the Jewish Sabbath day. And that in itself, if you're the blind man, how awesome is that gift? But the ruling authorities, the Pharisees, the ones of the church, the synagogue, they didn't like it. They didn't like it that he healed him on the Sabbath day. They were putting days and their laws ahead of the blessing of relationship and the gift that this man received. So much so that he was essentially booted out of the synagogue, booted out of the city, the society that he had lived in. He was outcast for receiving a blessing of sight. And Jesus spoke with him. He said, "Who do I thank?" And Jesus said, "The man that healed you." And who was that? And he says, "It was I. And he explained who he was. But it cost this man his life existence, in a sense, with society. So we think about those ruling people, those that were in authority, did not like this event. So much so that they outcast the man that received the gift. And in verse 39 in John, verse 9, Jesus said, "I have come to judge those who think they see and make them blind. For those who are blind, I have come to make them see." This was pointed right at those Pharisees. And they're essentially standing there. They know. They know what he's referring to. But they essentially ask, "Are you calling us blind?" That's their feedback, if you know, kind of cut to the chase. Jesus then was referring to, and they would have understood the reference. Their question of, "Are you calling us blind?" is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, because he was referring to Ezekiel 34. "If you would acknowledge your blindness, then your sin would be removed. But now that you claim to see, your sin remains with you." They understood. They just didn't like it. And they were taking offense with it. They tried to differ or shift the concept, but they knew Scripture well enough to know he was calling them out. Jesus is saying they are the thieves who misled Israel and deceived the people, leading in a wrong direction in order to keep their power of place in society. And that is all too common, that we see that trying to keep positions of power and authority. So Jesus, as the good shepherd, reaches out to the broken and the hurting and the imperfect. He reached out to the woman at the well. He reached out to the blind man and healed him. He reached out to the man beside the pool of water in Siloam and healed. He reaches out to those in society that are hurting, that are maybe not the leadership, those that will respond. The story of the shepherd, again, from today's reading. The sheep were kept in a pen at night for protection. And a pen, as we think of it in our world, would be a fence around everything, whether it be wood or pipe or wire. But in that region, the pen was maybe stones laid up with walls to encase an area. Maybe it was in a small little valley. Bottom line is it was a man-made pen, maybe up against a hillside, so that they could not escape. But there was left one opening to allow the sheep to come in, allow the sheep to go out, one opening. And in other cases, or in most cases, it may have been four or five different herds of sheep that were kept, because it was very easy for one person, the gatekeeper, to guard the opening at night. This allowed for safety for all of the sheep. As we think about people in the metaphor of being sheep, we all come together. We all are protected by Jesus in his role of our Savior, as our loving brother. But as we think of the sheep, they were very easy prey. I remember growing up on the farm, we had sheep. And I can tell you, they're not the smartest animal in the barnyard. They wander off. They get into areas they don't belong. They can get hurt very easily by this wandering into these areas. They are very susceptible to wildlife. In our case, it was coyotes. They could lose their life, and they really didn't defend real well. They just kind of made a lot of noise and circled the camp, but it wasn't much safety. So the shepherd is very important as we take that image into the Middle East, into that region. And even as recent as January, when Laura and I were there, as we would be driving the highways, you could look out and see a shepherd with his dog and his flock of sheep as they were grazing different areas. So that is still just as true today, that there's still flocks of sheep with a shepherd. As the shepherd would come to get the sheep out in the morning, would come with a quiet voice, one that let the sheep know who they were, who they are. And as the sheep came through the gate, only the sheep that belonged to that particular shepherd would come out, because the others did not recognize his voice. They did not participate. They did not want to follow, and would essentially refuse to follow, because that wasn't who the one they knew was taking care of them. The other piece of this, the shepherd did not come yelling and hollering and screaming or making loud noises. They came in a quiet voice, one that you could understand and one that you could resonate with. You think of those sheep, you know, they can't defend themselves well, and they'll wander off. And the story of the 99 and one lost sheep parable from Scripture is an analogy of that. The shepherd knew his sheep, and I can tell you, even from watching our sheep as a kid on the farm, you recognized each one. And we would have friends over and they go, "How can you tell?" Well, you just know. You learn and you see and you recognize each one. And if one is missing, you know. You can figure it out because you recognize the herd, the flock. You know, as we think of the world around us today, even on a television show, you have your volume and you're watching it. What happens when a commercial comes on? It comes up louder. And in most cases, at least in my world, it's annoying. I find the mute button very fast. But that's typical. That's a psychological thing that people use, to yell, to scream, to holler. The shepherd does not do that. And in John 10, we're going to summarize a little bit of this. verses 2 and 3. The good shepherd doesn't speak with an abusive voice. He doesn't jump over the fence and scare the sheep. He approaches with gentle confidence, knowing that his sheep know who he is. Jesus comes with the same drawing voice, the wooing voice, not the loud driving spirit we hear from other voices. Probably more now, one of the things in this past 2 weeks that we've heard, and I'm not taking a political stance one side of this equation or the other, because even on this Zoom call, I know we are at polar opposites on some of what I'm going to say. But we have crowds that are yelling and screaming and demonstrating for one position of the stay-at-home order, open our economy. We have another group, essentially the very opposite, doing the same thing, yelling and screaming and hollering and trying to weigh the situation, express who they want to, the position they support. Is there a quiet voice in the middle of this somewhere? And that's something I want you to ask yourself, and not just on that particular subject. That was just, I'm trying to give an analogy that you would understand or recognize. When you're faced with the decision to come to a crossroads, are you listening to the gentle drawing voice that's calling you to wholeness and life, or the aggressive voice calling you to self-glory, power, and greed? We are so fragmented, especially in the loud, distracted world in which we live. Our capabilities never will match our egos. Our greed never matches our income. Our gluttony never matches our health. The shepherd brings the sheep out. In verse 4 through 5, kind of a summary there. The shepherd brings them out. They follow and trust him. They know his voice. They will not follow a stranger. They will run from them. They do not recognize his voice. And in verse 6, this goes back to the Pharisees again. You know, they didn't get it. They're asking, is it us? What are you talking about? Are you pointing your finger at us? In a sense, is what they're asking. The sheep will not go without their shepherd. Verse 7 through 10. I tell you the truth. Jesus basically is getting very real right now. And he said, this is the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. The Pharisees knew exactly who he was talking about. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Through Jesus. That's the key. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's the very simple truth of what Jesus is talking about. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. When you go through the gate, you receive life and are saved. As you go in and out, you enjoy abundant life in the rich pastures of the Lord. His sheep enjoy fullness and freedom. Jesus not only gave his life for us, but he gives his life to us right now. Much of humanity chooses to believe that none of this is true, that we can get through life just fine on our own. We've been taught that since we were babies. We don't need anyone telling us what to do, how to do it, or rescue us when we fall. We hear, leave me alone, I can make my own decisions. And that's usually when things really start going south. Jesus came to save. He came to save you and me. Jesus knows the way of suffering, for he has walked in it himself. There's nothing that you're enduring that he doesn't understand, that he doesn't relate to and has experienced in his world as a human on earth. He does not ask us to go anywhere he has not gone or will not go with us. You can't go anywhere that Jesus will not go with you or is already there waiting for you when you get there. He lived on this earth, fully God, fully human. He understands who we are, our makeup. He knows us inside and out. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Take a moment and ponder these thoughts. In what way am I personally wandering about like a lost and forgotten sheep? Maybe you don't see that at all. Take some time and just reflect on that. What does it mean that God knows me by name? Have you ever thought of that? When I heard the voice of my friend, or if I could hear my grandfather or my father, I would recognize immediately who it is. And they know me, and I know they care. But what does it mean to know that God of the entire universe knows me by name? And what does it mean to be loved by God? He allows us to step away, but we're never away. He welcomes us back at any moment, at any time, in any situation. There is never a time we can't reach out and say, Jesus, come, help, save, because he loves us. Always has and always will. You can't change that. You can change how you feel, but you cannot change the fact that God loves you. God not only knows us personally, he loves us, and he is personally interested in what is happening in your life. Right now, in this stay-at-home world, as this world opens up and we become more mobile and be able to do things we used to do, he knows what is happening in your life. He understands where you're at, and he loves you. Ask him to show what that looks like. Ask God to show you what that is. Now, I'm going to finish with a quote from C.S. Lewis. If you would listen to this as I read it. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. We are far too easily pleased in this world. We settle so often when we are offered abundance. But listen to that voice in you that calls you out of the noise, out of self-addiction, out of self-seeking and backbiting. Hear the voice that always calling us to the Good Shepherd's harmony. Listen to that voice. It may be a soft, still, quiet voice. That calming voice is how he approached the shepherd analogy. The sheep didn't run away, they ran to him. When he took the flocks out, he went out in front. He didn't stay behind, herding the sheep from the rear. He led them and they followed him because they knew he loved them and he had the very best interest for them. And that's the same he has for us. God loves us, and he has the utmost wonderful blessings in front of us. As we go through today, tomorrow, this week, next year, trust that God is leading. Let's listen for that voice and see where it takes us, because it's an awesome place. Thank you for today. We will close out quickly with a prayer. Thank you, God, for everything, for your love for us, the fact that you can call us by name, the fact that you know us better than we know ourselves, and God, that even in the midst of trials or adversity or the screaming of the environment around us, you're that calming, quiet, still voice that loves us and leads us. And God, let each one of us hear your voice. Hear what you want us to do. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.